May the Lord bless us all as we break open the Word of God, as we share, we listen, and we respond. Amen. I got up this morning, and like many people across the country, at some point I checked my phone to see if there was any dramatic messages during the night. Maybe the bishop called me and wanted to give me a promotion, so I consulted my phone immediately. And it said, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, all day long. I said, that's good. And so I was kind of wondering what was happening tomorrow, so I kind of had a little look at Monday. And I couldn't believe my eyes. It said, Monday, the 18th of March, St. Patrick's Day, Newfoundland. No, I'm not making that up. I knew they were a half hour behind. They're either very intelligent and they're going to party for 2 days, or they're going to have a hangover. Either way, it made it into the calendar. So I want to wish you all a happy Lent. And we have begun the journey. And so, some of you may have this week been a bit fascinated or a bit distracted by not being able to have a chocolate or a glass of wine or a cup of Starbucks coffee or only one cup of Starbucks coffee. Others may have said, well, I was nice to two people this week. That was it for the week. I did it. And we're kind of thinking, like, what is this business about, this conversion, this metanoia, this change? What am I doing? I set out and I was going to do this and I am going to do that. And I hope God's happy, because I've only got about another 35 days to go. And so we kind of think what it is that I am doing in Lent. And it dawned on me that maybe we're looking at this the wrong way. Rather, what am I doing is, what is God doing in my life for Lent? Am I open to inviting God in? God has a plan for each of us, and each of us has a relationship. We're called to be in relationship. God calls and we respond. And so rather than being kind of checking off the things that maybe we've done, or something like a New Year's resolution, you know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, perhaps we need to reflect upon, what is it that God wants for me? What is it that God is asking me to do this Lent? That's an entirely different question. In fact, that could be really positive, because I could still have a glass of wine and a chocolate. Maybe he's not interested in that, you know? Like, what does God want for me? What's he saying to me? So there's two things that are really, really important. If we're trying to figure out what God is saying to me, we have to have some silence and some quietness. And we live in a world where we are bombarded constantly, constantly, constantly by noise pollution. You know, the greatest thing that was ever invented in the 20th century was not the TV clicker, not the telephone, not the iPhone, but it was the clicker where you can mute the ads that come on TV, you know. You can just click the mute and you don't have to listen to them. Because we are absolutely bombarded by everything. Buy this, go here, do this, do that. And yet we're trying to say, what's God asking of me during the season of Lent? And one of the really key ways of figuring that out is, once I said, the silence, and the other is some genuine prayer. Prayers are not easy. Maybe easy for you, but it certainly isn't easy for me. I find myself starting back at the starting line once again. In my prayer life, I say, oh, hi, God, it's Grant. I know I was going to do this and this and this, and I haven't been here for a few weeks because I've been really busy doing all your work at St. John the Divine. I haven't had time to sit and pray. I'll make my work my prayer. Well, that's very nice, but maybe he's been trying to get through to me. So one of the things we need to do during Lent is perhaps find some quiet moments, some quiet time, and begin to listen with our minds and listen with our hearts. Now, that's a very dangerous proposition, because if we're really quiet and we really listen, we might hear God speak, and that could be very risky. I mean, he might ask us to do things that we don't really want to do, or that we're not interested in doing, or is outside of our comfort zone. He might gently prompt us. And I don't think God has these big messages that come down from heaven, but God who dwells in us, our God, gently prompts us along the way. The Holy Spirit opens our mind and we keep getting prompted. But we're so busy and we have so much going on that we don't have time to listen to the promptings. Scripture scholars tell us that another name for God is presence. And we need to be in the presence of the Almighty. We are called to be in a relationship with Jesus. And in a relationship, there's a two-way street. So when we pray, and I'm inviting you to pray, you have to find out your way of prayer. Sometimes in prayer, we do all the talking and God does the listening, and we hope that he's going to perform what we're asking for. Sometimes there's a different type of prayer where we sit still and God does the talking and we do the listening. And sometimes there's a dialogue. And there's all kinds of forms of prayer. There's meditation. There's contemplation. There's prayer groups. You can walk the labyrinth. You can do a number of things. You can be quiet. You can meet with two or three other people. But it is important to really set aside the prayer. And the greatest thing to do when it comes to pray is to show up. Sometimes you say, well, I sit there for 15 minutes and nothing happens. That's all right. It doesn't matter. We're in the presence of God. And maybe he's just not quite ready to speak, and maybe we're not quite ready to listen. But we showed up. We were there. And so I'm inviting you, as you journey on in Lent, to reconsider the whole idea of listening, of praying, of hearing what the Lord may be saying to us in our life. We need to really listen. So if we're really going to listen, we may have to put away some of the things that are distracting us. Like the phone every minute on the minute. Or the iPad. You know, we live in a generation where we're absolutely bombarded with noise. The technological revolution has changed our lives. There's over 200 million things can come into our home on any given day. And everything today seems to be an extreme, and it's extreme in politics, it's extreme in religion, it's extreme in everything we do. And we need to kind of quiet the stillness of our bodies and our mind. And that's different from people who say, well, I live by myself. I'm quiet all the time. But I visit people sometimes who live by themselves and they have the radio on, the TV on, or something else on for company, and that's all right. But I'm talking about getting rid of all of that and simply being and living in the presence of the Lord. Just being quiet and seeing what the Lord is saying to us. Now, we have lots going on today, so I'm not going to be too long. But in conclusion, I just want to say this, that praying is a very risky business, as I said. We're taking a chance. And I want to conclude by this poem that I read this week that I thought was very good. This is in a book by a Canadian priest from Saskatchewan. So that shows he's not perfect, but he has some good things to say. His name is Ronald Rollheiser. And just to show that the enlightened man that he is, he moved to Edmonton, and then from there he moved to California. And he writes books. And he has a book called Wrestling with God. It's a great book. But in here he has this lovely story that's apropos for what we're doing in Lent. And I'd like to read that to you now. This was written by a nun, and it's called Covenant. The Father knocks at my door, seeking a home for his son. Rent is cheap, I say. Oh, I don't want to rent. I want to buy, says God. Ooh, I'm not sure. I want to sell. But you might come in to look around. I think I will, says God. I might let you have a room or two. I like it, says God. I'll take the two. You might decide to give me more someday. I can wait, says God. I'd like to give you more, but it's a bit difficult. I need some space for me. I know, says God, but I'll wait. I like what I see. Maybe I can let you have another room. I don't really need that much. Thanks, says God, I'll take it. I like what I see. I'd like to give you the whole house, but I'm not sure. Think on it, says God. I wouldn't put you out. Your house would be mine, and my son would move in and live in it. You'd have more space than you've ever had before. I don't understand that. I know, says God, but I can't tell you about that either. You have to discover it for yourself. That can only happen if you let him have the whole house. Ooh, a bit risky, I say. Yes, says God, but try me. I'm not sure, God. I'll let you know. I can wait, says God. I like what I see. So just as God waits on us, I invite you to wait on God.